Five, four, three, two, one. Gary V, ladies and gentlemen. Dude, I have gotten so many fucking tweets about you. Ever since I said we were going to do this podcast, or I don't know if I announced it online or tweeted or something, man. You're doing something out there, dude. You got a lot of people behind you. A lot of people excited about you.
Well, listen, I'm super thrilled to be here. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here. Yeah. I'm thrilled to talk to you.
Thanks.
You're a motivational motherfucker, man. You got a lot of people up and at them.
I'm super grateful. You know, it's funny. I spent the 3 years, for last year I've been okay with it, but the 3 years prior to that, I specifically didn't want to be a motivational speaker.
How come?
I was selfish in deciding like that I just didn't want to be that, that I was more proud in my own mind of being an entrepreneur business builder who happened to have entrepreneurial tendencies, and I feel like the motivational speaker thing, you know, by percentages can get a little ugly, gets a little kind of hollow, can get a little spammy. And for my own mind, the way I had it in my brand was I suppressed and stopped putting out the content like that I would tell my boys and my internal employees. But for the last year, I embraced it a little more. And so, you know, it's got a place. You know, I mean, you can't. And I know you feel this because as soon as you announced it too, I got so many emails and tweets and DMs of the same thing. If you're lucky enough that some way, the way you communicate brings value to others, you need to be smart about that. And so I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think you need to be smart about it. You definitely don't want to get greedy with it or stupid with it or...
There's a fine line between manipulation and... You know, and doing the right thing.
For sure.
And for me, when I go on stage, that is my zone. That's my arena. That's my court. I just don't think anybody does it better.
Like when you give motivational speeches.
Yeah, I mean, they're usually business talks, right. But I'm so like rah rah that it takes. You know, I feel like I'm a defensive coordinator that's giving you the plays, but I'm gonna give it to you like, we can do this, let's rip their necks, you know, like out of their body. And so when I'm up there, that and the YouTube videos and things of that nature, that's the majority of what people see of me. And that's only one version of it. And I'm very conscious of the motivational thing. I think a lot of people use motivation for their own selfishness. And I'm trying, I know it all plays out in 30 or 40 years, but along the way, for my own appetite, I want to balance it the right way.
Well, there's a lot of people that are doing it that haven't, they don't really do anything else. Like, I know a guy who does motivational speaking, he used to be a shitty comedian, and now he's just doing these weird motivational speeches, and they're like, they're sort of hobbled and cobbled together from other people's shit, and it's like, it's fake.
You know what? You know? I don't judge anybody. Very honestly, I don't give a fuck. Really, I don't. But about what other people are doing, entertainment, escapism. You know, people can say reality stars are this. People say watching football like my beloved Jets for 3 hours is stupid. Like, people can judge escapism any way they want. Here's my big thing. I'm a businessman, so I talk about business content. It's not just finding your inner peace. What scares the shit out of me is everybody who fucking says that they're, you know, a business coach and they've never made a fucking dollar outside of selling other people how to make a dollar. And that whole scheme is basically sell other people on how to make a dollar.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to go down that path. And I think I can look the part very quickly. And that's why I suppressed it for a little while. But then in the last 3 or 4 years, I've built a very large agency, a media agency. And so I think I felt good that I went and executed again, just like I did when I built the wine business. So I filled that bucket of building another big business, which makes me feel more comfortable to go out and do the content and being out there.
Well, there's definitely value in giving people motivation. There's definitely value that other people get from it. It's a real positive thing, and there's ripples that come off of that. And I feel like I gain a lot from a lot of people that are motivational. I get a lot out of it. I love it. When they're real.
Yeah.
It's hard to find. You know, you got to separate, find out who's a real health expert and who's a bullshit artist that has sort of compiled and remembered a bunch of things that other health experts have actually studied and done research on.
Headline reading versus practitionership.
Right.
And I couldn't even imagine what you guys are dealing with. Being at the top of the sphere of this important medium, you must get bombarded, and it takes work. Like, I've been able to navigate who I want to fuck with and have drinks with and who I stay away from.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does.
Because it can look the part, and you got to, like, dig, and then you got to, like, take... And you know this. There's people that you actually respect who haven't done the work and are lazy about putting somebody else on. And they're like, yeah, that's a good guy. But right. They're not.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck. And, like, the whole thing is really interesting, actually.
And then there's hosers. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of hosers out there. There's no getting away from that, though, and kind of all walks of life. And I think you're right, though, to not concentrate on the negative ones, because it's really just a waste of resources. It's a waste of energy. But this is an amazing time, though, to get a message out there and to motivate people and to show people that, there's something positive, not just in being inspired, but in inspiring others. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and, of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy 2, get 1 free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the communication infrastructure of society is incredibly interesting right now.
Yeah.
Look what you and I are doing. Do you know, if you map what you're doing right now, like, it's insane. You basically had to give up all the economics to the biggest radio show station in the world. Like everybody can reach so many people, and of course everybody's head's gonna go to what's going on in politics and what's going on, and it's true. Like, the reason a dictator, when they're creating a coup d'etat, wants to take control of the media is because people go with what the media is telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's imperatively important to try to navigate and distinguish yourselves. To me, I'm saying this quite a bit lately, which is, if you're feeling good right now, like, for example, I am, I feel enormously optimistic. You have a massive sense, you have a responsibility to communicate that, because the wave of negativity is extreme.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's super beneficial. And, what you were saying about the media being powerful, I mean, the most powerful thing about it is everyone has access to it now.
100%.
There's nothing keeping anyone from starting an Instagram page and just putting up little videos every day of how they feel and how they think. And it might only affect one person. It might affect 1,000 people. It might get to 1,000,000 people, and it builds.
And what happens, Joe, is I think people look at this in a cynical way. They're like, social media is bad. That person has no talent. Why are they successful? This political thing is going on. That's bad. This is bad. And what they don't realize is these social networks haven't changed us. they've exposed us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what people like, Twitter didn't change your opinions. Twitter allowed you to express them.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when something was on TV or in the radio, we were yelling. When I used to listen to sports radio, Mike and the Mad Dog in the 90s in Jersey, I was yelling back at Mad Dog like, you idiot. No, the Jets should do this. But now that voice is in play.
Right.
And it's one famous person away from retweeting it to getting the foundation. That's the, you know, that's the match that can start your infrastructure.
Not only is it in play, but if you have opinions on sports, you could start your own podcast and it just builds and it could be massive and bigger than anything on the radio because it's such a superior medium.
People forget that blogging was a precursor to this. I mean, where do you think Bill Simmons came from?
Yeah.
I mean, people are confused. Like, like people forget real quick. I mean, that was my story. I owned a wine store in Jersey. YouTube came out. It was 5 months old. And I'm like, this thing's going to be big. And I decided to sit in front of a table, drink four bottles of wine for 20 minutes. And it was good enough that a lot of people wanted to watch
That's what you started out? That's what you started doing?
So if you want to take it all the way back, I was born in Belarus in the former Soviet Union. So I have a very immigrant story. Came to the States in 78, lived in a studio apartment half the size of this studio with eight family members. Real immigrant shit. My dad got a job as a stock boy in a liquor store for $2 an hour in New Jersey.
Wow.
Became the manager of that store eventually. You know, that immigrant thing, just work every hour.
Right.
So my dad did. I didn't even know my dad until I was 14, even though he slept in my home every night. And we moved to Jersey. I was straight entrepreneurial DNA, like lemonade stands, like shoveling snow. I used to rip people's flowers out of their yard and ring the doorbell and sell it back to them. It was real raw entrepreneurship. And then I'm 41. Baseball cards were like the thing in 87, 88, 89, 90. That was culture. And I became a baseball card dealer and I was making $2,000-$3,000 a weekend selling baseball cards in the malls of New Jersey. Then my dad owned a small liquor store eventually in Springfield, New Jersey, dragged my ass in. I hated it. But around 16, I realized people collected wine that was connected to what I liked, which was collecting baseball cards and football cards. And I, at 16 years old, spent every minute of my life trying to become the foremost expert in wine. I would go into like science class junior year and not give a fuck about Saturn and would just sit there and read the Wine Spectator and decide I was going to be the greatest wine retailer of all time. Heard the internet in 94 in a dorm room. Playing Madden 94, my friend came in, he's like, you gotta see this. Went to a room, heard coo-cooch, that whole thing. And 15 minutes in, was on a bulletin board and seeing that people were selling wine and decided that I would launch a wine website. And in 1996, I launched one of the first e-commerce wine businesses in America.
Wow.
And so then in 98, I came home full time. And from 98 to 2003, in that 5-year window, I built my dad's business from a $3 to a $60 million business on the back of email marketing, Google AdWords, and just having a website. And that became my first foray into using technology to grow very quickly.
So do you sell wine through that website? Mm-hmm. So buy and sell? I don't know jack shit about wine. I just ask the guy, what's good, dude?
Do you like it?
Love it.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I like wine.
The one reason I broke out in wine, everybody who's listening right now, real quick, take a step back. Do you know anybody that's into wine? Everybody probably knows one or two people. They know what I know. Every one of those people are a straight douchebag. Anybody that's really into wine thinks like it's some magical information that they impose on others and they become a straight dick. So since I knew so much about wine, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this away from all those assholes. So I started a YouTube show and I started comparing the wines to like hillbilly gyms, like, you know, like Boot and like, you know, like racquetballs and like the gum out of a Topps pack, all the stuff it actually tastes like. And it democratized wine and it was a good thing because wine should not be on a pedestal. If you like it, good. Nobody, there's no cheeseburger expert running around going, Joe, you're using the wrong cheese. It's from the wrong year. It's so douchey that nobody wants to get into it. So I was like, fuck that. I'm going to help wine. And it did. It got a lot of young people into it.
Yeah, there's a weird pretentiousness to wine that doesn't really exist with a lot of other liquors. Like, it doesn't exist with tequila.
You're seeing it, right? Like craft beer. Mm-hmm. You're seeing it with whiskey. Right.
But craft beer is more down home. I mean, it's kind of cool.
But you know what? There's some Brooklyn heads that are trying to be douches, too.
Well, Brooklyn's a rough spot. It's a weird spot. It's so confused. It thinks it's like North Carolina. It thinks it's Asheville, North Carolina, like planted in the middle of New York City. What a weird place Brooklyn is right now. And it wasn't like that when I was living in New York at all.
No.
When I lived in New York, Brooklyn was kind of like rough. It was like Guido's and, you know, and
Russians.
Quote, air quote, urban. Yep. You know, it was a different spot. Yeah. And now it's just all these weird hipsters with skinny jeans and fucking vests on and
It's half
mustaches.
My employees at VaynerMedia.
Yeah.
For all of you listening, love your jeans. See you Monday.
Why are they doing that? They can't even run in those things.
No,
what if you have to get away? What if someone's chasing
None
you?
None of those guys are getting away from
anything. They're not getting away. They just accept their fate.
They're not stealing.
They roll their pants up, keep it tight.
You know, they're paying 6x the price of whatever North Carolina for the same item. That's
yeah.
what they're doing.
Why? Yeah, I don't get that. I don't even get that living together thing. Everyone's smushed into that one spot. It just seems like that's retro.
Love that. I don't
do
know.
You?
I love. I live in Manhattan. I like,
you like it?
I can't live anywhere else.
You definitely could.
I could.
By the way.
I could, but I really prefer not.
Why do you like to be smashed in like that?
I need speed. I need the action.
Yeah?
I get to other places like LA, like here we are, right? And like, there's nothing going on here at 11 p.m. tonight.
Sure there is. You just got to go to the city.
That's fine. But
well,
not,
right out here in Woodland Hills,
well, that's
no.
That's fine. But like, yes-ish?
Yes-ish, but not Manhattan-ish.
No, and not that that's bad.
Right.
By the way, it's probably mainly good for 99%. I just know what I'm about. Like, I like it. I like the action.
You like there being a restaurant open at 1 a.m. that you can get a nice meal at.
And it's not even that cool. I'm not cool enough for that. Here's what I like.
What do you like?
Noise.
Oh.
So, for example.
That's what I fucking hate.
Right. So, I love it. So, let me give you a good example. I have to sleep with a sound machine because I need the chaos.
No.
When I walk in my office floor and everybody's got headphones on and there's no sound, I freak my shit and like poke somebody and say like blast your Spotify or iTunes. Like I need sound.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Man, I'm the total opposite. I want to be on a mountain. I want to hear birds chirping.
Nothing makes me happier than hearing like sirens and people yelling at me. Like, no, really. It really puts me to sleep. Like my Lizzie, my sister right now, I know she's listening. She knows there used to be a train outside our house in Edison, New Jersey. I couldn't sleep. The train would come by and it'd be like one of those hip, I'd be out.
Really?
I need sound.
That's so weird.
I need action. That's why I love social.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Post, reply, DM.
Right.
Like, I'm an action junkie, and luckily I haven't deployed that against drugs or a little gambling early on, but I've gotten away from it. I can't win enough to get me excited, and I can lose and get pissed. So, like, I finally won that game.
Were you gambling, like, Vegas gambling or sports?
Vegas.
Mm.
Yeah,
Vegas. Like, craps?
Like, craps. And like dumb shit like roulette. Like I would just decide like putting like $500 on the number 5 because like fuck if I hit this like you know like just like dumb shit like I'm gonna win $18,000.
I go to Vegas
you know?
So much for the UFC. I don't gamble at all. I've never gambled in Vegas. I've gambled on fights and that's it.
I should really bet baseball. I've been a hardcore like 25-year fantasy baseball player, and
so you know a lot.
The only time I've ever really made money gambling was when I knew up and coming pitchers were coming up, and that's how they really run it, and that's where I've made my biggest arbitrage.
It's hard to make money on fighting, too. You used to be able to, when I used to gamble, when I first started working for the UFC, I'd still bet on fights, and then I thought about it for a while, and I was like, I'm probably not supposed to do this.
like,
it doesn't make any
Pete
sense. Well, it's,
I can't
affect anything, and no one ever told me I can't do it. It's not like I'm a manager or anything like that.
People say that your commentary was slate. Yeah,
exactly. They say that anyway.
Yeah.
They said that, and it has been me, they said I was biased for people I bet against, which is hilarious. I've had that happen. But I stopped doing that like more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was probably like 2002 or 3.
Yeah.
Like right after I first started doing commentary, I quit doing that.
Yeah.
But you used to be able to make a lot of money because
well,
there were some killers.
And people were undereducated in that
Sport.
Yeah.
Well, there were some killers that would come in from other countries and I would go, you know, like they
you
didn't
know
about this
and
guy.
Know.
And I'd be like, oh, this like Adlan Amagov guy was coming in from, you know, I forget where he's from, but I was like, Jesus Christ, what's the line? Fucking bet the house. You know, there was
did he come from parts unknown?
There's a few guys from parts unknown.
I also thought that WWF did that so well. I was always fascinated when they were like, from parts unknown. I'm like,
yeah.
Holy shit, where's he from?
You well, that's no good for a global enterprise
no,
like the
not.
UFC because you want to engage those people in the other countries. Like there's this guy, Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's the number one contender in the lightweight division. He's this fucking murderer. He's such a badass, and he's undefeated. And like the big thing about this guy is that he's from Russia. He's from Dagestan.
Yep.
And it's a really weird place because it's not a large place.
Nope.
But there's a bunch of killers that come out of this one spot. And this guy's like the main killer. And so they're planning on doing a big UFC in Russia.
Love
and if
it.
This guy is fighting in Russia, it's going to be fucking bonkers. You know, so like that's a big deal. Like Conor McGregor in Ireland, and you know, it's a big deal to fight in your country.
100%. The regional thing has always worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, World Cup, Olympics. These are historic things. Like nationalism is on the rise.
Yeah. So, no, it definitely is. And even you know, statewide. You know, like Cowboy Cerrone fought this past weekend in Denver. You know, and he's just from Denver. So when he goes to Denver, they go 100%. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, hometown stuff.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
There's always that. You know, it's a fascinating thing. Is that your signature on your fucking iPhone case? That's a little weird there, buddy.
I'm a weird dude. Like, this is, you know.
You got, like, a watermark signature? Yeah. That's a signature, by the way, that anybody could rip off. You'll be super careful with your checkbook.
No, I'm all right. Luckily, I don't have any checks. I don't even know what a check is.
I got a buddy of mine. His name is Guido Orlandi. He's a good guy. And his signature is this. It's like that's it, which was great until he got divorced. And then his ex-wife just fucking went off with
Clean
his signature
house.
And just drained the poor guy.
Poor dude.
Yeah. Still, he fucking stuck to his guns, though. After she drained him, kept that fucking signature.
he's like, you could take the money, but you ain't taking this
signature.
You
ain't taking my big old bitch.
I love it.
And I guess nobody could tell you how you write your name. You know, you can write your name any way you want. Mm-hmm. So he just decided that's how I write it. That's it.
Where is he right now?
That's a good question. He's a pool cue maker.
Interesting.
He makes custom-made pool cues. Yeah. And last time I heard, he was somewhere in the Midwest where pool is still got a pool is always connected to gambling, and it does better in places where there's not as much to do.
Right, not as many options for gambling.
Although Manhattan is like a good spot for pool.
It is.
Oddly enough.
It's like a date thing, like, you know.
But I mean pool, like pro pool, like real pool. Gamblers, high level players. Yeah, I can play. I could play decent.
What about darts?
No. Got a dartboard over there. Somebody gave it to me. I never even opened it up.
That's what I can do over there.
Are you good at darts?
Yeah, better than I am.
People love darts.
Yeah, I just have good hand-eye coordination.
Yeah? It's a fun
wiffle ball.
It's fun to play.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're looking at the same thing over and over again. That's like my problem with bowling and darts. You're looking at the same goddamn thing.
To me, pattern recognition, it's kind of how I think about like content and business and those things. I like pattern recognition.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like pattern recognition?
It comes to me.
Like but you like chaos.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But I, you know, I definitely am a big, big fan of pattern recognition. Like to me, everything just happens over and over and over again, and mm-hmm. you just have to understand the historics. So, for example, my great thesis right now where I think all the money is going to be made, this is the television, and that is the radio.
So you're pointing to your phone
is
the television, and the TV is the radio.
And it's 1948 to 1957, meaning we're going from a primary, as a society in the U.S., the primary device in our lives is switching from the television to the phone. The same thing that happened in the late 40s and early 50s from the radio to the television. If you go back and understand the brands, the media companies, the personalities, what happened in that decade, then you can start making bets on understanding, oh, wait a minute, if the phone's the television, then Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are ABC, NBC, and CBS, shouldn't I become Bob Hope and Lucille Ball? Because if you go back and read, a lot of the radio stars didn't go to television because they disrespected the medium.
Huh.
So I would tell you, I asked you this before we went on, I was fascinated because I know you've been really a pioneer in this, an early dude, like you went to podcasting, and I'm sure now everybody's like, oh my God, and can I be on your show? But when you first started it, it didn't have the, you know, the brand as a platform it has now. I'm sure plenty of people were snickering at it or what does it mean? It's what it is.
Well, they were doing it recently. Like
people are still doing it.
Howard Stern was making fun of podcasts just a couple of years ago. Not even. A year ago, he was mocking people doing it. Now we get 95 million downloads a month.
Of course he's mocking it because everybody mocks the competitive thing that's rising
above them. There's that. But
that's what it is.
Yeah, it is that, for
like,
sure.
Let's just save ourselves some time here.
In that way. Well, in my opinion, radio is fucked because you have to tune in at a certain time. You have to listen to their commercials. You have to, the medium of podcasting is so superior that it's instantaneous. You pause it when you want. You 100%. Get back in your car. It Bluetooths to your car. It plays anywhere. You can go from your car to headphones. It can play in your car or it can play in your headphones. You could pick it up. You could put it on your laptop. You could have it stream in your house. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it. You delete them. You download them. They're instantaneous. You can get them whenever you want. You can go through the archives.
I agree.
I mean, and it's also 100% uncensored, 100% unproduced. There's no one in, like, with this, it's me and Jamie, and that's it. I mean, there's no one else involved in this. That's it.
And look at Jamie.
Yeah, he's just chilling. But I mean, it's really amazing in that respect that there's no corporate. And like when you get to these kind of numbers, usually you'd be in some giant building somewhere, and there'd be a gang of people involved, and they'd have meetings, and after the show meetings,
editorial post, and
we never have a fucking meeting ever.
Do you guys
we smoke
even talk?
A little weed.
Do you guys even talk to each other?
Yeah, all the time. Okay, we're friends. But we smoke a little weed, knock some pool balls around. Jamie has a good idea. We go, yeah, let's do that. And we fucking wind up doing it. But it's so informal. And it's like there's nothing going on like corporate.
What's amazing is it allows the talent to rise to the top.
Well, it also allows people to be themselves, which is what allows the talent to rise to the top, or allows the, I don't even say the word talent, but allows content to find its way in a pure manner where it's not like if you have a bunch of people influencing what you do. As soon as you start compromising, and as soon as you start compromising, you just can't, it's never going to get through the right way. Like, one of the beautiful things about stand-up and one of the beautiful things about podcasting is that, like, if you go to see a guy like Bill Burr, his Netflix special is out right now, ladies and gentlemen, just came out. He was on earlier today. Like, you see his thoughts. There's no one telling him what to say. There's no one, you know, when you watch a stand-up on stage, that's their thoughts. They've figured out a way to hone it to their personality and then, boom, put it out there like that.
Yep.
And that's the same thing with podcasting, and that's never existed before.
Yep.
They've never had the opportunity.
The internet is we take it for granted. It's really fundamentally only 22, 21 years old.
Yeah.
Windows 95 really kind of put normal people on
it. Yeah.
It is the great shift in our society, and I think we haven't fully quantified its impact across the board.
Well, if you think about 20 years and what a short period of time that is in human history, and if we go 100 years from now and look back, they will look at this like this great explosion of content and creativity and expansion and integration, this integration of thoughts and ideas and the instantaneous ability to communicate that's just never existed before.
Nope, and they're going to think it's slow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is going to say, everybody's like, it's so fast, and the kids. I mean, I love how everybody, like, these kids are not going to be capable to live in society because they're on a phone. I was told that I would not be a functioning human being because I played Zelda and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out too much.
Mm. Well, they were right.
They
you wouldn't
it.
Be
they
functioning that way.
I tell my friends all the time, like, what world do you think our kids are going to be living in?
Right.
You think they're going to be outside throwing a racquetball against a fucking wall? Like,
no.
The world shifted.
Yeah, they'll be taking selfies of their ass.
That's exactly right.
That's what they're doing.
They're gonna be putting on contact lenses and living in a VR world 24/7.
Right.
That's what they're really going to be
doing. That's really what they're going to be doing. What do you think is next? Like, if you look at the cell phone, you look at technology and the integration in our lives, what do you think is the next step?
Voice.
Voice.
Voice is going to be really interesting because it's on us now. So let's take a step back. It's all about time arbitrage. The thing that we're all addicted to is time. So Uber.
Mm.
Uber doesn't sell transportation. Uber sells time.
They sell convenience.
That's exactly right. And,
it's
packaged in time.
Right.
So voice. When Alexa can order your package for you instead of like whatever's faster. Like the head, you know, the iPads that we talked about, like
the
anything
earbuds
that's
that you're
earbuds.
Wearing.
Thank you. They're whatever's faster is what we're going to gravitate towards. So I think voice activation, AI, AR, those kind of things are really going to start to populate up over the next half decade.
Those earbuds that you're wearing, do you work out in those things?
No,
no, they don't hang in there. They'll fall out.
I haven't tried it. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, they look. That's the only thing I would worry about. They look pretty badass.
I'm upset. It's the best product Apple's put out since the phone itself.
You really believe that?
I really believe that.
Now, do they work the way the other, like, is there a button you can press on them to answer the phone? Like, how's that work?
I don't even, you know, the truth is, I'm not even sure. Like, but I'm so, like, weirded out. Like, I'm so bad at that. Like, I never get the full value out of products because I don't even have the time to read.
That's actually probably good because that means that a product has to be really, really good to impress you because it becomes so easy to use.
That's a very good insight.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Like, there's some shit like on one of those Fitbits. Like, good luck with all that. I'm not getting in there.
And plus, it's Apple's own product, right? You know what they're going to do. They're going to make all that shit not work with the next stuff. I mean, they're not here to be friendly. They want your fucking money.
Somebody gave me one of these GPS watches that you have to charge every other day or some fucking stupid
shit. That's been the other thing. The thing charges. Like, I thought it was like that 3 days, like, you know, like instantaneous. It's been really good.
It lasts for three days?
Mine has been lasting for as long as 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, I ordered it, but they're not going to deliver until March, I think. They're back ordered for quite a while. Because too many people like you.
Yeah.
Maybe you in particular. You fucked it up, dude.
Sorry, everyone.
I like it. I like it. So you think voice, meaning like voice control, voice. One of the things that I use all the time as a comic is the notes feature on the iPhone has that little voice thing.
Yep.
And it's amazingly accurate. And accurate enough that I could realize what I'm saying. Like, even if it fucks up a word or something like that, I can go back and look at it. But have you ever used it?
Yeah, I do.
It's fucking incredible.
But I think it's the 2.0 of that, right? Where, like, things are actually happening because of your voice.
So we could talk right now, and this fucking thing is going to be able to pick up a good 99% of everything we're saying, and I'm not even touching it.
It crushed it. I just killed it.
Perfect.
Yep.
It got it 100%.
So to me, where it gets really exciting is when everything around you is being at. So when everything becomes smart, then it starts getting really interesting. So our phones are smart, right?
Right.
But what happens when your belt is smart?
Ooh.
And now all of a sudden you go to order a Big Mac and you try to pay with your phone, but your belt's talking to your phone. Mm. And when you go to pay, it declines and it looks at you and says, order a salad, fat ass.
Ooh, your belt is telling you it's tightened.
Correct.
It's too tight. It's pushing against your body.
Or what about when your refrigerator reorders another case of Budweiser because it understands how often you drink it? And so you're down to two. It knows that you're going to drink two tonight because that's your average. And as soon as you get home that night and open and grab the first one, it's already reordering it for you.
So your refrigerator becomes an enabler.
Everything's going to be an
and
enabler.
And you start suing your refrigerator.
That's right. Your toothpaste.
For alcoholism.
That's exactly right. Your toothpaste is going to have one drop left. It reorders it for you.
Right.
So we're going to get into that place where everything is smart, and that's when it starts getting a little bit interesting.
Mm.
And then virtual reality porn is going to be interesting.
Well, it's already interesting. Have you ever done the HTC Vive? You ever fuck with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Duncan has the porn on the HTC Vive, and he tried to get me to look at it briefly. I looked at it briefly.
Like that's 6 hours?
No, a few days. It's just too much. You know, you could just stare at someone's tits. They're just too big. The whole thing is too weird. It's just too bizarre.
It's not going to be bizarre. You know what was bizarre 10 years ago? Dating somebody that you met online.
Oh, yeah.
Bizarre gets redefined real quick.
Oh, for sure.
And guys are real simple.
Mm.
You know, all you need is one of your buddies in 5 years saying, bro, no, seriously. That's it. Just that tone. And that was it, right? You fell for it, James. Like, that's it. No, bro, seriously.
Well, how many people are getting laid now because of online? It's got to be giant.
Oh,
like with Tinder and swiping, all these different things.
We missed it. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like probably I bet less people are in committed relationships now because it's just a fuck rampage out there in the streets.
Yeah, we may never recover. It's just a rampage.
But a buddy of mine, my friend Greg Fitzsimmons, one of his good friends got divorced. And, you know, fucking, the whole deal. Torturous marriage, hung in there too long, the whole deal. No sex for the last year and a half plus. Rah,
right.
Got out, and now he's just on a pussy, catastrophic rampage. I mean, this dude is just crushing it.
And he's sad, right?
He's happy.
Of course he's happy.
He's so happy.
It's the
Every
best
time
ever
I see him, he's
him.
Got a giant smile on his face and his phone's vibrating.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's
happiness.
Like, and it does. You don't even have to be, he's not a good looking guy. He's all right. But I mean, it's not even that.
Is he charismatic?
Water finds its own level.
It's
you know, you could find your level. You find what it.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Who's willing to fuck you? They're out there.
There's always someone.
Someone's willing to fuck you.
That's 100%
true. You just got to find that person.
That is
true. It might not be everybody.
No. But what's real fun is when you actually break out of your level.
Yes.
Once in a blue moon.
And every now and then.
Every now and then, below your level.
Yep.
Or above your level.
Every now and then.
Those are the moments you actually talk about.
You're at the 3-point line and it's nothing but net. You're like, what?
How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fascinating to me because I'm really concerned about the integration of human beings and technology. Not concerned, I shouldn't say concerned, but puzzled as to the end point.
Oh, the end point is the robots kill us all.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Why do you think that? I think we integrate with them. I think we become symbiotic.
With them until we become a bothering force to them.
Yeah?
And we don't stop them.
Well, I think it's those pussies that are scared to integrate that we're going to have to kill off. I think it's folks like you and me, they're going to get the chips.
So you think we'll we're going to be like on team robot?
I really think
we're going to kill those humans.
I think there's going to be some folks that want to make their own homemade bows and arrows and shit and chop their own
100%.
Wood. Yeah, with a stone axe like those assholes. I don't use matches. I fucking rub sticks mm-hmm. together. Those mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. they're going to be a problem.
I think people are going to be scared of it. Like as we continue, I mean, people are scared of technology.
Yeah, for
every
sure.
Every generation of it. I'm real curious how far it gets before we get to 80, 90, 100. Like, what are we going to really see at the tail end? Right? Mm. I mean, you think of somebody who's 90 years old now, the shit they saw.
Right,
like, I mean, if you go the whole gamut, like in their 40s and 50s, right. they're like, a television?
Right.
And, you know, like, I mean, so.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember, I don't know, how old are you?
49.
Perfect. You're a little, I don't know how this plays out for you. You might have been a slightly, I'm 41, so it's slightly, it'll be interesting to see what you say. The jump from fucking Atari to Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Was
giant.
Insanity.
Giant, yeah.
Insanity. Or the iPhone
oh, yeah.
from the fucking Razer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have those moments, that's when it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that quantum product that leaps everything.
Right.
The iPod from whatever, you know, the MP3 fucking horseshit things we had.
Well, I think it's going to be artificial parts, too. I think that's going to be a big part of it. Like people who are blind, giving yep. them artificial eyes yep. that work better than real eyes. And then people, I mean, initially it's going to be not as good, and then it's going to be as good,
well,
and then it's going to be better.
Right? You yeah. were 80, 60, 50, now you're 19.
Well, not even plastic surgery. It's going to be genetic manipulation.
No. I'm saying that the back to pattern recognition,
mm-hmm.
when plastic surgery came out, you were 50, 40, you know, that range. Now, mm-hmm. 18-year-old girls, 16-year-old girls are attacking it earlier.
Yeah.
So when first it's going to be for the blind, and then some dude's going to be like, wait a minute, fuck this. Why is my friend who was blind can see shit better than me? I'm going to just do that, and it's going to go from defense to offense.
Somebody showed me a breakdown of Kylie Jenner's plastic surgery over the years, and she's only like 20 years old.
That's right.
And this girl has had her face just chopped apart. She's had her chin whittled down. She's had her hips widened, her breast enhanced. She's a little kid.
I get it.
And she's just, they're just sculpting her with scalpels.
Yep.
It's very, very, very strange because she doesn't look remotely like she used to look just a couple of years ago.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan. And I'm thinking...
And it's heralded for it
yeah.
amongst her peers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what do you think is going to happen? People are going to follow that pattern.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, they're jumping in head first.
So it starts with celebrity, then it goes mm-hmm. to the affluent.
Well, the amount of money that it costs yeah. to do something like that has got to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars because she's had some really extensive stuff done. I mean, you just didn't see that when we were kids.
No.
You didn't see a 20-year-old girl that had, a girl got a boob job, yeah, maybe.
But not even 20. I mean, that was so rare for, you know, later, yeah. you know, maybe in our 20s we heard about such stuff. And
right.
we're like, wait a minute, why didn't they do that? You know?
So, yeah.
You know, like that, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
But now it's bizarre. Like, they're doing stuff to their hips. Like, girls are getting their hips widened.
Of course, because ass is the yeah. offense now.
I know, but it's just so strange to see. Like, when you look at a person, you know their ass is mostly like some weird extra substance that they're sticking in there to
yeah,
pump it up.
But you know what? But guys respond. Like my good friend Moose said a long time ago. He
you
said,
have a good friend named Moose?
Yeah, Rob Moose. So we call him Moose. He said about fake boobs. He's like, if they're fake, why can I put them in my mouth?
Mm. Yeah. If I can touch them, they're real.
It was, I mean, you know,
my 1999 album.
Yeah,
yeah. It's. I think that it's a fascinating thing because we don't care, but we do care when it gets to lips. You know, there's something about lips. We're like, hey, slow the fuck up. Like, you can get those preposterous tits and nobody blinks, but as soon as you get to lips, guys go, Jesus. Like, there's something about when they have that
duck.
Crazy,
yep.
The lip implant thing. That's a strange one, man. That is there's something sad about that one, where it elicits a response that you don't get out of the boobs.
I get it.
Yeah. And for dudes, nothing. Not a dick implant in sight. Not a goddamn thing you could do.
That's got to start happening soon.
I think it's going to be genetic. Yeah. And when it happens, I used to have a bit about that. It's going to take about 30 minutes for the first guy to die of an overdose. Because if they come out with a pill that makes your dick bigger, we're not taking one.
We're taking them all.
Dudes are going to go, how many give me a stroke? Give me one less than that.
Uh-huh.
Let's fucking do this.
Guys are simple that way.
Yeah, well, we're going to morph. Because vaginas are going to have to change to deal with the size of the dick. Because dudes are going to have carpet roll cocks. It's just going to be this giant. You know what? We're not going to stop. Like, people don't understand. Like, once we have that ability to get bigger dicks.
That's
no one's,
right.
It's going to be like those crazy ladies who crush beer cans with their tits.
Yeah.
You ever see them? They get like a triple Z tit.
I'm on Instagram.
Smash. Yeah. It's going to get to that point.
Instagram is, you know. Soft porn. I mean,
it's the spot.
Yeah.
It's soft porn, though. I like how they don't go full Twitter.
Well, that's why I'm glad. It's soft porn.
But Twitter lets you.
I like soft porn
Twitter,
better.
You can fuck. I mean, you can do whatever you want on Twitter. I kind of like that.
Don't be confused. Instagram can go there, too, if
you
want to.
Well, you have to be private. It has to be a private page.
I mean, nothing.
And then they
like,
get pulled.
Tumblr was really there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tumblr. Jamie's nodding furiously.
I was an investor in Tumblr, and the growth was enormous at one point. I'm like, where's all this growth coming from? I'm like, oh, porn.
Oh, well, Tumblr at one point in time became like really tormented social justice warriors making bizarre blogs that are very difficult for you to understand.
On that note, though, it was a very creative space.
It was.
It
you
was.
Say was, like it's gone.
It's gone.
What happened?
Everybody left.
Is it... But it's still active,
yeah,
right?
But it's
but
like,
no.
Like, you know this. Like
MySpace.
It's like a club.
Right.
Like, sometimes a club is the hottest club in your city.
Right.
And it's still in business 6 years later, but like, it's bridges and tunnels and shit like that.
Right. Yeah. Weird. Bridges and tunnels. That's funny. People don't know what that means.
I wanted to give you a little East Coast. I'm doing some recall for you.
Powerful jersey. Yeah, It's interesting, the trends. You know, like, why did MySpace go away like that?
Because the operators weren't good enough. So I'll tell you what's interesting about the trends in social and business digital that people don't understand. Everybody was waiting for Facebook to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Zucks is a beast.
Mm.
He's an extremely talented, all-time CEO. And so he was good enough. If MySpace was run, first of all, it's sold to News Corp.
Right.
And so once it was owned by the big company, you talked about it earlier today. No, they wanted to milk it. You know what they did with it first?
What?
The second they got it, they pumped the shit out of their X-Men movie that they owned into the platform because the economics of the movie were greater than the investment they thought. And so they were milking it, right?
Oh, so they bothered people with spam.
So it's like somebody buying this and just pumping ungodly amounts of like whatever products they thought your audience read into the point where they just saturated it.
Isn't it weird how something gets a stink on it and then that's kind of it? Like, no one wants to come along and try to revamp MySpace.
That's another interesting insight. One of the things that I'm dying to know in a 15-year window is, will there ever be a recall?
Right.
Will something die? Will anybody... Because I want to buy it, to be
you
very honest.
You want to buy MySpace?
I want to buy a historic brand. Like, I want to buy Friendster. First of all, I just want the IP. Like, so I think nostalgia plays. So the same way we talk about, like, Saved by the Bell and, like, fucking the Smurfs.
Yeah.
And I think that I can buy Tumblr in 9 years for $40, aka $11 million,
right?
And just make enough on t-shirts to the kids when they're 40 that are now 25 that were 15 year olds doing all those weird sites because they're like, yeah, Tumblr was the best.
Well, you got a good point because Jamie and I were looking the other day at all the Netflix shows, like what's most popular. Fuller House is the most popular show.
They're bringing everything back. 24 just coming back. Like,
24 is going to be on that?
One season.
On Netflix?
No, it's going to be on Fox.
On Fox?
But
it's a different 24, right? It's a new guy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, yes, they're bringing the nostalgia.
Right.
Joe, my big theory is nostalgia is one of the most underpriced assets in the world. So my entire thesis in business, so I want to buy the New York Jets. Let's take a step back.
Okay, you do?
So, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
And I'm going to.
Oh, my God.
And
Be careful.
It's a very big, I'm going to make it happen.
Jesus Christ, you're scaring me.
So the way I think I'm going to buy the Jets and the reason I built my company.
You're going to sell Friendster.
No, but I'm going to go and buy mug root beer or animal crackers or Cracker Jacks or Rainbow Pops. I'm going to buy a brand and then market it like it's 2020 instead of the horseshit TV commercials and fucking billboards and print and all the bullshit that these companies do.
Right.
And then I'm going to buy it for $130 million, do my thing, and then resell it for $2.3 billion, buy the Jets, win Super Bowls, and then I can die.
Damn, dude. That's the ultimate goal.
That's the plan, brother.
To own the Jets.
Yes.
But don't you think that you're the kind of guy that you'll own the Jets and you go, you know what, man, it's not enough.
Well, I need to win Super Bowls.
Right.
So I'm going to be like crazy. Like, I'm going to make all these crazy owners seem calm. I'm going to be like, I'm going to do shit like, I'm going to play. I'm going to be a 71-year-old wide receiver.
Oh, don't do that. Maybe you can do that once genetic engineering gets to the point where they can just
I'm gonna come out with my fucking,
regenerate limbs.
That's right. I'm going to come out with my fucking bionic eyes and like fucking run a 4-3-40 with my new fucking feet.
Yeah, right.
Made from like duck fucking ass or whatever, you know?
Yeah, like when they integrate, what was that article about they're integrating spider silk into human tissue? They're creating artificial skin for human beings where they're going to integrate spider silk into human tissue to make it bulletproof.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah, yeah, that's a real thing.
I heard that Peter Thiel, and I want to make sure I'm saying this right, but I think Thiel.
Yeah, look at this. Is bulletproof skin made from spider silk proteins and human skin cells.
I mean, this is, by the way, guys, this is all coming. Like,
awesome.
I think it's Peter Thiel, but it might be some other mogul in Silicon Valley is putting young blood in himself.
Yeah, it is him. Yeah.
It's him, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so is that going to work?
Well,
because I'm kind of like,
ask him.
I might do it.
It's, well, it's based, this is the theory
tell
that it's based on.
Forget about getting like a log dick. Tell me something that won't let me die, and that I will definitely do.
Well, not only will it not let you die, which it's entirely possible that it's going to extend your life, but more importantly, it'll give you more energy while you're alive now. Which makes it fascinating because you're going to be able to
do things.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm thinking about doing it tomorrow. I might fly up to Oakland tomorrow.
What about the spider
skin? I'm doing that too. Go ahead, man. Fucking
you're in shoot.
Everything,
right?
Shoot, bitch. But the thing is, the bullet will destroy your bones. See, they're going to have to do something with the bone. They're going to have to give you some Wolverine adamantium bones underneath. Because, like, the spider silk's not enough.
How does Hugh Jackman get so jacked in, like, 4 minutes? What does he do? Steroids?
Steroids.
Okay, good. I was just
100%.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was 1,000%.
1,000,000%.
Good.
And he also does intermittent fasting, so he drops a lot of body fat.
Got it.
You know, you get into a state of ketosis. You don't eat for 14 hours. He pounds, like low carbohydrate, high fat, high contact. So his body's burning fat. He's doing tons of steroids, I'm sure, allegedly.
Right.
I don't know, Hugh. You seem like a nice guy. I'm not shitting on you, buddy. I like him. I'm a big fan. I like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. He's handsome as fuck.
But I think he's on steroids.
Understood.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm just telling you. I'm an expert in that shit. I can tell. I mean, like, it's very difficult to look the way he looks without doing them. Very, very, very difficult.
I saw him at the Knicks game the other day, and I'm like, man, he fucking beefs up fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does the right shit, though. You know, I mean, that's the thing about, like, saying someone does steroids. It's not enough. Like, you don't, it's not
do
like he takes a pill.
Do you think people should do steroids? This is a conversation that my trainer, so I started working out 3 years ago, finally taking it serious. I've had two trainers full-time that travel with me. I've really gotten into it. Got my life.
Damn,
much
how many trainers?
I only have one trainer at a time.
And they travel with you?
But they travel with me. So I was really out of shape, like, never worked out, didn't have a muscle in my fucking body 3 years ago. And I'm like, I'm going to die. This is stupid.
Right.
And I can afford it. I'm going to hire. I'm not held accountable to myself, but I'm very good at being accountable to others. That's why I run good businesses. I don't want to let the team down.
Right.
So I figured it out. I fucking found the binary switch. So I hired somebody, and they travel with me.
Well, that's
every day, 7 days
a week. If you can afford that, that's an awesome idea because it will force you to work out.
But both of them are, no, not both of them. The first guy, Mike, is like, like, it was interesting. He wasn't saying do steroids, but it was interesting to hear a perspective of, like, people. I've been fascinated by the steroid conversation in general. Like, I think certain things become taboo and then they don't.
Yes.
Like marijuana.
Right.
Right? Is steroids that? I'm asking you because I feel like you're closer to that genre than I am.
Well, they most certainly work. 100%.
Yes.
So let's go over that first. Let's take it from step by step. Here's what's important. It's very important that young people don't do them. And this is why. because you ruin your endocrine system. It's very important that young people realize
young,
if you do
under 18?
No, even 15? Into your 20s.
Okay.
When you do steroids and you're a young person and you have a healthy endocrine system, what happens is you inject exogenous steroids or exogenous testosterone into your system. It shuts down your natural production of testosterone. And then you're fucked because then when you get off the steroids, your body doesn't work right. Your testicles aren't functioning correctly, and it takes you roughly, depending on the person and depending on how you treat it, like what treatments you use to kickstart your endocrine system again, half the time you're on the steroids to recover. So if you did a 2-month cycle, for 1 month you're going to be miserable and your dick's not going to work.
Got it.
So it's very important for young people. However, once you get older, like I'm 49,
when I hear that, that's why people do it.
What do you mean?
Well, because it's a self-esteem enabler,
uh-huh,
right, for a guy. And if I'm a guy right now, like, and I feel like I need the muscles for the summertime, he's like, I'm going to go on a cycle for 2 months. I'll have a shitty, like, fucking May or, like, April, and I'll be ready to roll.
Yes, you should get your blood work monitored. Like, if you're really considering doing something, I think the most important thing is to do very little. To do just a small amount. Give yourself a little boost. You don't want to go fucking hog wild and take some Anadrol 50 and turn into a fucking gorilla. You don't want to do that because it's too much of a shock to your system. Mm-hmm. However, when you're in your 40s, like you are, then testosterone replacement therapy becomes a very viable alternative because your body is just simply not producing testosterone correctly. However,
Can I become a gorilla? Because I just got excited.
You could kind of.
Yes.
It'll take some time. But here's the thing, like the Hugh Jackman thing, because I get back to that. That motherfucker works hard. There is no way you look like that unless you work hard.
Right. So you have to do both.
Like really, really, really hard. You got to do fucking heavy deadlifts, heavy squats. You got to shock your system. You got to get your body to think, holy shit, this crazy asshole wants to carry around gigantic amounts of weight. We're fighting against gravity. We have to incorporate all of our resources. Your body does not want to use resources to get bigger. It just doesn't. It resists it because it's not healthy, and it's not a smart survival tactic. Like for your body to put on all this meat, then all that meat needs fuel. Like your body's not totally convinced you're going to have this fuel because for thousands and thousands of years, food was very, very difficult to come by. So for your body to be convinced that you're doing this all the time, we need this extra mass. Like, you have to have massive amounts of food and massive amounts of work. Yep. That's hugely important. And then steroids. Those things, too. But more important than steroids is balancing your diet out, making sure your nutrient levels are all consistent, they're all healthy, that you have the proper amount of vitamin B, vitamin D, all these different essential nutrients, essential fatty acids, all the proper amino acids. Like a steroid is just a Band-Aid.
How often do you work out?
At least five days a week.
Zero?
No, probably three days a week.
Jamie runs a lot. He's a fucking stud. But you know, I do a lot of different shit.
I love
Jamie.
Hoops.
He's a fucking runner. How many miles you run? A lot of miles.
Not right now. So I told you, I'm doing weightlifting, and I was just getting back into basketball. I was shooting hoops this weekend.
Jamie, but when you were at your peak of running, you were running some pretty impressive 25 numbers.
25 miles a week, easily.
Back to basketball. I just put up a post. So I didn't let my brother AJ score on me in he's 11 years younger than me until he was like 15. Score.
You wouldn't let him?
No. I have a 4-year-old guy. He's got Xander, my little guy. He's got a weird condition. When he picks up the basketball, he starts kind of weirdly crying because he knows dad's going to come out of somewhere and block the fucking shit out of him.
Mm.
And so I posted this thing about it today on Instagram, and it was funny to watch everybody. I mean, everybody's in these fucking 8th place trophies. I want to kill people. Like, all this fucking infrastructure of fake fucking self-esteem, and then these kids go into the market, and they get punched in the mouth, and they don't know what to do.
So you don't let your kids score on you either?
Nope.
That's hilarious.
I will not let... I'm fucking going to beat the shit. Like, until he can win, then he's good. Like, AJ... Mm. My brother AJ's a better basketball player than me because I didn't let him... Like, what are you going to let people score for?
That's a very interesting perspective. Let me give you mine.
Please.
I don't think you should ever be very competitive with people who are not competitive with you. So here's a perfect example.
That's an interesting thought.
When I do jiu-jitsu, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. If I do jiu-jitsu with a white belt, I treat them very kindly. I might tap them out a little bit, but there's no way I roll with them the way I would roll with another black belt.
Well, that's fighting There's a difference.
But it's a game.
Okay.
Jiu-Jitsu is a game.
Respect.
So, like, when, like, if I'm rolling with someone and they're making mistakes, I'll correct their mistakes. If I wanted to, if I'm rolling with someone who's a white belt, I could just cut right through them. Just keep cutting right through them. But it's, you know, probably, what you do with them?
Yeah.
You discourage people from doing it. And it's not really fair, because you're not getting anything out of it either. All you're getting out of it, you're practicing like a grappling dummy. And, like, occasionally, maybe that's a good thing to do. I feel like once you get into the blue belt and purple belt range, then I'm going to go with you 100%.
Yeah.
Because, but it, when you're dealing with someone who's not really competitive with you, it doesn't make sense. You're not getting anything out of it, really.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I think it's an interesting perspective. I'm still not letting Xander score. Like, that was a really lovely... Like,
my kids kick the shit out of me. I have an 8-year-old, and she's allowed to punch me and kick me full blast. She doesn't kick the shit out of me.
But you can slice her in half.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But she's 50 pounds, but she leg kicks me full blast. I mean, I don't ever hit her back.
Yeah.
She sets up leg kicks. She throws a left hook to the body, and then she comes around with that right leg kick. Whap, whap. And as long, I mean, she's allowed to hit me full blast. So, like, she'll go, can I hit you? All right, go ahead. And she'll just tee off on me, so it gets her used to doing it. Now, if I, like, every time she went to do that, I checked it, and I hurt her shin, or I punched her in the face, well, then she's going to have this mental block in her head that she's not going to be able to overcome. One day, she's going to get to a point where I can light spar with her. She's not there yet.
I do think,
but maybe
certain,
she'll get there.
I do
somewhere.
Think certain games play out differently.
Right.
I mean, I'm not letting my 7-year-old daughter score a basket either.
Right.
But I probably wouldn't punch her in the face.
Right. 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 Right.
Right. I'm not letting her beat me in Uno.
But you're not
ever,
even letting her.
Ever.
No. That's fine.
But
man,
I won't, like, snap her neck or rip her throat out like Roadhouse.
Yeah. Well, what I do is, like, say, like, here's another example. Like, if I'm rolling with a girl.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a man is doing jiu-jitsu with a girl.
Yes.
If you're going full blast, you're not getting anything out of it either. So what I do is, if, like, I'm sparring with a girl, I pretend that I'm only as strong as them. So if they're pushing against me, instead of going, get the fuck out of here, and just locking down and, you know, and giving them, you know, the full chimpanzee strength, I give with things. So I don't allow my body to use full blast.
I understand.
So as they push, I just give in and try to use technique and find a better way in. You know, I just try to go with it. You know?
Yeah,
so
I do.
Yeah, I let them score on me in that sense. Like, I'll let them get side control on me, and then I'll hip escape and try to get back in. But everything I do with almost no strength.
I understand.
I just move my own body away.
I would tap them out in 4 seconds, probably. I just don't know any.
I understand.
I just probably wouldn't. By the way, just because 99% of you don't know me, I wouldn't have done it at all. I would have never even got in there. I don't know that thing.
But if you did know that thing, I think maybe you'd probably have a different opinion on it.
Correct.
Yeah.
No. What I mean by that thing is, if I, like, I'm either going to go in there and not let the guy score, or what would have mostly likely happened is I wouldn't go in the ring, whatever that ring is, at all in the first place. I'm not trying to discourage.
No, I know what you're saying.
But if I'm playing, like, I just think.
But when you're playing basketball and you're playing basketball with a small person that doesn't move as good as you,
I'm
you're trying
to blow them out of
you're
the building.
You're just knocking them by
them
and slamming
the
it on their face. That's hilarious.
Right. Now, first of all, I'm not big. I'm not slamming shit.
Right.
I'm
laying up.
But if I can win 11-0 and remind them for the rest of their lives, I'm interested in
that's
that.
That's so fucked
I
up.
I am. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm addicted to competition. It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm not trying to hurt. Like,
right.
I think there's two ways to build the biggest building. One, just build the biggest building.
Right.
Or two, tear everybody else's building down.
Mm.
I have no interest in tearing other people's building down. But if I fucking build the biggest building, I'm letting you know. And the same way that you should let me know.
Mm.
I'm not going to cry about that.
Right.
But I love the game. That's why I love business. It's the one place you can do that forever.
I agree with you, but I just feel like physical things, that becomes
that,
a very problematic.
You went to a different place. I'm not in rings, and that gets into it.
But even basketball, like, you run faster, you're bigger.
I feel very comfortable shutting out my 7-year-old daughter in basketball, but I'm completely not comfortable punching her. So, you know?
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, let her score, man. Let her sneak through a little
bit. How much do you think the pay-per-view of McGregor-Mayweather is going to be? Because it's not giant. It's not a debate anymore. It's 100% going to happen.
I don't know about
it's
that.
It's 100% going to happen.
No.
I'm putting it on tape right now.
Yeah.
Whatever
this
is.
You might not be right.
Well, listen. Well, you know what? Either build the biggest building or not.
Yeah.
You and I will have a nice little exchange in 4 years, and you'll make fun of me.
You'll call
this clip. It's happening.
Well, I would say.
They're doing everything they can to make it happen.
If you looked at it as in terms of a 0% chance to 100% chance.
Where's your number?
I think we're in the 70s.
Okay. Well, then
I think we're in the 70s or
80s. Clarifying, because I think that's where I think we're at as well.
I think there's a significant legal hurdle to overcome with the UFC, and they might not overcome that, depending on how they play that card. This is my opinion on it. Now, McGregor has publicly stated that he believes because of the Ali Act, he can compete in boxing and not do it with the UFC, but he wants everything to be smooth, so he would rather have the UFC involved. But he also wants the UFC to recognize what he says is their place. So there's Mayweather Productions, the UFC, and McGregor Productions.
Right.
This is what he's – promotions,
right.
rather. So this is what he is stating now. He's going to be a partner in the promotion. And so there's going to be some sort of a negotiation for how things are split up in three ways. And then the question becomes, can they work that out? Okay, if they can work that out, then it becomes a question of should they do it and will it be competitive and is it good for their brand? And that's where they might have a debate on
this. I think what's going to end up happening is the economics are going to be so big that it's going to override the brand play. The math is just going to be too big.
It's possible, but McGregor's so big, the economics of him fighting in MMA, like see, look at it this way. So if he fights Mayweather, maybe there'll be 4 million pay-per-view buys, right? But
what was Pacquiao Mayweather?
What was it, Jamie? 4.5 or something? We looked at it the other day. Just Google it real quick. I think it was like 4.5. I think it was the biggest of all. 4.6,
it was
right?
Definitely the biggest.
Was it a 4.6? I think it was the biggest of all time. We'll find out. I think it was the biggest of all time. And I think that those numbers, though, here's the deal. McGregor can do those numbers over the course of 3 fights. So is that it? 4.6? So 4.6 million pay-per-views. Now, McGregor has done 1.5 for the Nate Diaz rematch, mm-hmm. 1.3 for Eddie Alvarez, somewhere mm-hmm. around those range. So that right there, just those two together are roughly 3 million pay-per-views.
Yeah, but how
for
much
what,
money
for two fights?
Did he make in those fights?
A fuckload.
No.
He
but
made
no,
a lot.
He's not going to make the kind I mean,
not
I,
as,
I,
not the same not, money he would make as a co-promoter.
And if he loses in a boxing match...
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple for him to say, that's not what I do, and go back.
That's true.
Whereas I don't know MMA, not even remotely close to you, and not enough to be dangerous here, but from what I understand, I've done a little homework, he doesn't have a lot of great natural fights. He has a third fight with Diaz.
Great right? natural fights?
His next 3 fights.
He's got a bunch. He's
so
got
quite a few. Help me understand what, like, you know, that's why I'm setting it up for you. So from a financial standpoint, from what the fans want, right? The champions underneath him, it seems like he's fought several of that. He's won those pretty glaringly. Like, what's the big
Well, he didn't
fight?
Win the Nate Diaz fight glaringly.
He lost the first one, and the second one
was a very close
Agreed.
Decision.
Diaz
is the big one.
I know. Diaz and him 3 is the big one.
So that one,
but
I think,
else?
Brings in close to 2 million pay-per-view buys. I really
agree.
Do.
I
believe Diaz 3.
If 1.3 and 1.2, then Diaz
3. 1.5 and 1.3.
Yeah, I agree.
1.3 for Eddie
too.
Alvarez, where he won his second world title, right? The other one is Tyron Woodley, or whoever wins the Tyron Woodley versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson rematch for the 170-pound title. That's an interesting fight, too, because if he goes up and challenges at 170 and wins that, Jesus fucking Christ, now he's through the roof. Now he's the biggest star in sports. I mean, he becomes this gigantic, huge, global, worldwide phenomenon. That's entirely inside the realm of possibility. Now, he's not favored in a fight against a 170-pound champion because the guys are bigger, they're faster, or they're stronger, rather. But he's fast as fuck. He's really clever. He's very interesting. The way he approaches fights, he's very intelligent. And it's not outside the realm of possibility that he could beat someone at 170 pounds that's holding the world title, whoever that is. So that's a big fight, too. And that could also, with him attached to it, could bring in 1.5, maybe 2 million pay-per-view buys. So what you're talking about is in a couple of fights, he could make what he could make in that one Floyd Mayweather fight.
If he wants to be a global icon,
mm-hmm.
there's no way anything he does in just MMA trumps that fight.
No, no, you're right. You're right.
You know what
because
I mean?
It transcends. It transcends the sport.
It transcends.
Also, it's a really good match for him because Mayweather doesn't really knock people out. I mean, he knocked out Victor Ortiz.
Ortiz had his hands down.
Exactly. He fucked up. He headbutted him, and then he was trying to apologize, and then Mayweather KO'd him. Yeah. But that was a different sort of scenario. Yeah. Before that, the last guy I believe he stopped was Ricky Hatton.
He did. And he stopped. Late.
Yeah, I mean,
late 11 or
12. He's better. I mean, but by the way, Ricky Hatton is like half the size of Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is a big guy. He's tall. He's 5'9". He's broad-shouldered, and he fights. He can fight easily at 170. You know, he cuts weight down to 155 in a fairly healthy manner. Very unhealthy for him to get down to 145, but he has done it. If they fight, I assume they're going to fight somewhere in the 155-pound range. Conor will be significantly bigger than anybody Floyd's ever fought before.
What was your favorite sport growing up?
Martial arts.
Growing up,
yeah,
right from
yeah,
the get,
yeah, yeah.
From because
Bruce Lee
movies?
I didn't
like why
I
Chuck Norris,
yeah, definitely that yeah. Chuck Norris yeah, movies yeah, got yeah, me into it.
49's like, yeah, you're in the right
yeah,
age too,
for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was that, but there was also the finality of it, and also
like finish him.
Yeah, well, it was just it was so real. Like it didn't matter to me anymore.
Who's
if
the guy that
a ball,
the hat? I love that.
The hat.
I was thinking Mortal Kombat. The guy took his hat off.
Raiden.
Yeah.
Raiden.
No, not Raiden. The next, the guy who had like the hat, like sliced you with the hat. Raiden was like
someone sliced you with a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Mortal Kombat 3 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
It just to me, it was so much more dangerous. It was so much more. There's so much more on the line.
Were you a fight fan, like a boxing
yeah,
fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a big fight fan, too.
I've always described martial arts as high-level problem-solving with dire physical consequences. That's what I look at it. Yeah, it's also you're problem-solving someone who's improvising in the moment. With like, and there's such a psychological factor
involved
in it.
It's why you like stand-up, too, right?
Yeah.
It's how I think about keynotes. So one of the reasons I think my speaking career has gone so well is I'm reverse engineering the crowd in real time.
How so?
I'm literally giving the talk
right,
and feeding off the reactions and navigating in an improv manner on my business content.
Huh. So you don't have a clear outline?
I have a clear outline for the first 7 minutes, which is I already gave you that spiel. Mm-hmm. I like to
right,
frame up my life.
Right.
I'm an immigrant, lemonade,
right,
that little spiel I already gave you,
mm-hmm,
that's all I've got. And then I basically go into the State of the Union.
Okay, so now if you're going to give a speech,
yeah,
so if you're going to give one of these keynotes,
yes,
what's your objective? Like, what are you trying to accomplish
legacy,
when you're doing that?
Like brand.
Legacy.
Legacy. So I talk about stuff that most people think is coming, and I think it's actually here. And they don't think it's real, and they think I'm a futurist or a disruptor. And so I'll go and talk about Instagram and why I think people can go from zero to 100 million in their business in 7 years, or from zero to 100,000 a year. So the amount of people listening right now,
mm-hmm,
that are making $81,000 a year doing something they hate, that could make $80,000 a year on Instagram, either selling something or slowly but surely building their brand and then doing content deals, is staggeringly practical.
How do people make money on Instagram? I don't make any money. I have 1.8 million Instagram followers. Yep. I've made 0 cents.
The way people make money, the way people make money is always the same. So I would argue you do make money because you're using a chess move instead of transacting just on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
That is a platform where you create reach and awareness that drives towards things of this nature, and then you either sell advertising or get into business development where you have pieces of equity in businesses that you build through the attention. People sell against attention. Mm. So either you're doing commercials or you're doing step two, which is you're building brand, right? So one thing I've never done is I've never been paid ever for a piece of content I put out on social, which is the majority of how people get paid. But I get paid $100,000 to give a speech. And I've done that because of the attention and awareness that I've been able to build on those platforms.
Jamie, book me some speeches. I'm going to start doing speeches. Fuck this. Fuck all this posting pictures of my food.
So Joe, I think there's a, you know, you could sell stuff. Right now, I'm obsessed with people buying and selling shit. I don't know if you know this, but it is scary. Scary how much money can be made if you go to thrift stores and Marshalls and dollar stores and garage sales and flip shit on Craigslist, eBay, Letgo.
Really?
And I mean real economics.
So people go to thrift stores, they buy a bunch of vintage clothes, and then they go on Craigslist.
It's even scarier than that. Now, that you have a phone and you get the eBay app and you just scan shit, it's not even vintage clothes, which is like the thing most people listening think makes sense. It's fucking every single thing on earth. Every single person right now that's listening that needs $5,000, it's in your fucking house. It's in your closet. It's in your basement. It's in your attic. Your shit that you're not using is worth money and you just don't want to put in the work to flip it.
Huh.
Uh-huh. So I started something called the 2017 Flip Challenge, right? And I like made this video, and the amount of I'm getting hundreds of emails a week of people like, holy shit, I was on fucking welfare. I have college loans. I wanted to take my family on a vacation. And it was the fucking fourth pair of shoes in my closet that I didn't have. Or people that are not as fortunate, maybe really don't have a lot of stuff in their home. They were just going to dollar stores or thrift stores, scanning with the eBay app. And one guy found, some guy just bought like 80,000 fucking American Apparel t-shirts for 49 cents and is like selling them for like 16 bucks on eBay. Like, it's the flip, man. I'm telling you, the reason I'm saying this right now is I want somebody to leave with something tangible from this interview, right, for themselves. The flip, like all this fucking tchotchke shit here. Like,
tchotchke?
I'm looking, I'm like, that Biggie thing's probably 11, and this fucking Buddha thing.
Sell it for 11 bucks, you think?
That's worth way more than that.
Respect. This is, it probably is. You know, but like, you know,
it's
what I mean?
Plasticell. That guy makes those, he actually sculpts them, and then makes a mold of the sculpture, and then sends them out. They're dope. And the sunglasses actually come off of Biggie.
I love it.
Look at his eyes. I mean, there's details in his eyes.
He's smoking.
It's dope. And then we got a Conor McGregor one here, and a Tupac one.
Couple blunts.
This Plasticell guy is a bad motherfucker.
So Joe, on this thing, seriously, like, I'm fascinated by this.
By what?
This
flipping shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because you have to understand, because of the content I put out, I get asked 1,000 times a week through social DMs, email, live streams, how do I start? I need money. How do I raise money from venture capitalists? I'm like, you don't. You're not raising money from venture capitalists. You're not fucking, like, 98.9% of the people are not raising money from venture capitalists. You're not inventing the next Instagram.
Yeah.
Let's get a lot more fucking practical.
Right.
And like, start like learning how to actually make money and then take that money. And if you want to go build an app with that money, mazel tov, but learn how to actually make the money. And the flip thing has been I've been putting out business content for a long time. It's been the one thing that I'm watching people actually pull off.
That's a really interesting perspective, because you're talking about something that's very practical. Like, someone can actually get going on that.
Books.
You know, like, if someone comes to you and says, I want to start the new Facebook, you're like, well, good luck.
Well, you know, that's what happens. Yeah. You know this.
Right. Like, they just think immediately that they're going
to
be able to start something.
I can't imagine how many people at a UFC match come up to you like, hey, I'm starting this business. It's going to be like it's going to be for UFC fighters. It's
they want me to invest. It's hilarious.
You get pitched 24/7.
I don't invest in businesses I fucking believe in.
Let alone ones that you don't.
Exactly. Like, I've had people come up to me that have like super solid businesses that I really think what they're doing is awesome.
Have you ever passed anything that's gone on to be like monster?
Yeah.
What?
Oh. I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. To me, obviously I have a very different life than you do in terms of like, that is what you do. You're about business.
Yes.
That's not what I do. So anything that takes away from my time
is
and
bad.
My thinking. Yeah. People say, well, you won't have to do anything. You just invest. And like, no, you don't understand. Cause then I'm going to think about it. And that's very valuable. My thoughts and having that resource occupied.
And the thing that people don't realize is you are doing something. They're leveraging your name, and now you're associated with it, and you care about your name.
Yeah,
and like,
there's definitely that.
I mean, that's
real. But I mean, even if my name wasn't associated with it, if they were just using my money, I don't want to think. Like, I have
less
a limit.
Thinking.
Yeah. I have too much shit I'm already thinking about. It's not less thinking. It's like my thinking is overrun.
You know what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. I avoid anything new just simply because I get obsessed with things. I don't have the time.
I get it.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you got obsessed with?
Archery.
Archery?
Yeah.
Like bow hunting?
Hunting. Yeah.
People get really obsessed. You're in deep shit.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
Trust me. 5 years? Yeah, 4 years? 5 years
it's
hunting.
It's continue to get worse.
Well, less than 5 years. 4.5 years hunting.
You hunting?
3 years bow hunting.
What are you obsessed with, Jim?
Pussy.
Yeah, basketball. Look at him.
who do you
love? No, I mean, like, honestly, I've been, for the last little bit, last year, it's honestly what you talk about, but not, I haven't been following you for the last year. I've been following you since you were on Dig Nation a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Jamie's the first person to tell me about you.
Yeah, I initially I talked to you about him to you like twice, and then I got an email from your guy like serendipitously. But content and different things, pattern recognition too. Mm-hmm. I've been just trying to figure out all this stuff, almost because five, 10 years ago I wanted to be Zuckerberg, Instagram, all of that stuff, and I know now it's not there. I'm doing a different job now.
You know what's interesting about that? The thing that has really come to the top on my content that's really also helping people is self-awareness. One thing I'm enjoying listening to you, I'm like, this guy really, like, just like the martial art, like, it's been really interesting. I'm sitting here kind of thinking, I'm like, wow, there's some real self-awareness going on here. And even just thinking about you now saying that, I wish I could figure out, forget about a drug to make your dick bigger, if I could give somebody a pill that would allow them to deploy self-awareness, the amount of happiness that would be going on in this world would be tremendous.
I understand that. I can give them a solution. Struggle and overcoming obstacles and very difficult problems to solve. Problem solving, whether it's through martial arts or even through complicated things that don't seem complicated, like yoga. Very difficult tasks teach you about yourself. Those things teach you about personal awareness.
So let's take a step back.
Okay.
The amount of people that when they do that and fail,
right,
decide to spend all their fucking time on pondering and blaming is unbelievably high.
Well, that's just a problem with the way their mind is structured.
Okay.
That's just consciousness structuring.
Hence
right.
Why I'm interested in that self-awareness pill and or populating this conversation to the top, because when you start caring about what you are versus what you're not, good shit happens.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Or, you know,
I assume
think
fighters,
about what
right,
you
fighters,
are.
Right? Yes. Like when I think about Larry Holmes, like I had a conversation once about like how the jab that he was.
The Easton Assassin.
Man, it's really interesting when you start tripling down on your strengths. Obviously, you have to round yourself out. You don't want to get exposed, especially in MMA. Obviously, it's so multidimensional that way that it becomes a vulnerability. But, fuck, man, I'm big on tripling down on people's strengths.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, one of the interesting things about MMA is people that you call specialists. Like, there's a few people that are really good at one aspect of MMA, and they dominate people because of that. Like, Anderson Silva, who's the greatest martial artist of all time, was just a sensational striker.
Yeah.
And when every fight starts off standing, you had to deal with his striking. Before you could get to him, before you could take him down, before you could try to submit him.
You had to get through that.
Yeah. And that was, he's a specialist. Damian Maia is a specialist in a completely different way. He's one of the top welterweight contenders, probably number one now, next to Wonderboy, who's going to be fighting for a rematch of the title. But Damian Maia is a pure jiu-jitsu specialist. His striking is only to get close enough to you to grab you, drag you to the ground, strangle you. And in that way, he's a lot of what he is a throwback. But his jiu-jitsu skill is so elite that everyone else who goes to the ground with him, even guys like Carlos Condit, who's a former world champion, really high-level guy, just gets smushed like a bug and strangled because he's such a specialist.
I get it.
Yeah. Martial arts is very interesting in that way, because that works with some people, but it doesn't work with other people. I mean, other people have beaten Damian Maia because of the fact that he's, in many ways, one-dimensional.
Yeah.
But that one dimension is a motherfucker of a dimension.
I'm a big boxing fan. I grew up a big Aaron Pryor fan.
Me too.
A big Pernell Whitaker fan. Like,
what was in that bottle, man? Panama Lewis. What the fuck did he slip him? What did he slip him?
I'm dying to know.
I would like to know. Panama Lewis is still alive.
I'm able to quantify that because I think about a lot of the boxers who had their one or two things that it was just fascinating.
Sure.
Like you had to figure it out.
Sure.
Roy Jones, you know, it was funny, you were talking about Conor. I was like, when Roy Jones found his moment to go up to heavyweight, you know, it's interesting.
Okay, well, here's a perfect example. We're talking about steroids.
Yes.
When Roy Jones went up to fight John Ruiz, and I don't know Roy that well. I've met him. He's a great guy. I'm a huge fan. He's probably one of my favorite boxers, if not my favorite of all time.
He was a great fighter.
But I'm pretty sure he did some Mexican supplements to fight John Ruiz.
Just to get up to that weight?
Yeah. He was 200 pounds. He was jacked. He was shredded. It's not necessarily that natural for you to put on that kind of weight.
In
that
short period of time.
168 to 175 to 200. That's a lot of big jumping. And looked amazing. And, you know, kept his speed. Then, here's the thing. Dropped back down to 175 again to fight Tarver and looked like shit.
Yep.
Had a really hard time making the weight. And I think also you looked at his body. He was smooth. His muscle tone was different. It didn't look the same. And I think a lot of that is his endocrine system potentially suffering from the steroids, like taking steroids and then the crash. I don't know. This is pure speculation. But all my years of seeing people do the same thing, seeing people take steroids or take anything that any anabolic enhancements and then dropping down and getting off of them again, you seem flat.
Pattern recognition.
Well, I know a lot of pattern recognition about fighting. That's one of the things about fighting is pattern chunking. You know, you see things you've seen before, you know, and you see it coming before maybe even the other guy sees it coming.
And that's what I do with consumer behavior, and that's how I bet on business.
The reason makes sense.
I was an early investor in Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter, it was because I just knew that that looked to me like email, that looked to me like, I invested in Twitter because I thought it was the next email.
What do you think of Snapchat?
So I invested, full disclosure, I wrote a $5 million check into Snapchat,
wow,
so I'm a big investor.
I guess you like Snapchat.
So I like Snapchat. That
are you responsible for those puppy dog filters?
Because
that shit's got to stop.
Me, but
ladies, listen to me. Stop taking pictures with a puppy dog nose. Stop.
I like it. I think they
or
look
don't.
Cute.
Don't listen to me. I'm just fucking
cute.
Around.
I
do
think
whatever you want to do. The flowers on the head, though, aren't making you look any better.
Yeah, it is. It gives you a very Coachella vibe.
It's fake. They're fake flowers. I think you're a crazy person.
Well, should they do that or should they put the lip injections?
No. They should definitely have
Snapchat,
the fake flowers.
Snapchat has to
that.
Figure out the next move because Instagram's features have, in the short term, affected it.
Mm.
And where Snapchat was on the verge of becoming a monster was we started seeing 40 and 50-year-olds download it. When the features came to Instagram, it gave those 45-year-olds a reason not to download another app. And that's why Snapchat's lost a little momentum. It's not that a 20-year-old, yes, some are using stories more on Instagram now. It wasn't like a mass exodus of that. It was the growth that they were feeling 40 and 50-year-olds that were just starting, just like Facebook back in 2010, 11. They just started getting your aunt that wanted to act like she was in it, starting to download, and then the network effect, because her aunt has a friend, and that's what happens. It stopped that, and that is the concern that Snapchat has, which is it wants to be at full scale, because that's how you justify a $20 billion valuation, which is what it wants to go IPO at.
I think Snapchat's big thing is the filters, like the
of
zombie filter
of
and
course.
The rainbow throw up, all that stuff.
Yep.
Like, that's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that I could take your face and put it on my face, like, that's kind of dope. I mean, a lot of people do that, and it's really pretty amazing if your face is similar, like similar sized, what you can pull off. It's amazing.
I agree. I mean, listen, they've done a lot of smart stuff, especially with AR and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be very fascinating if the glasses take off at full scale, or what else are they up to? You know, they call themselves Snap now. I've never seen a social...
They're not Snapchat anymore?
As a company. They're Snapchat, but as a holding company. This is corporate bullshit. Nobody cares. But the reason I care is when they came out with the glasses, spectacles, I've never seen a social network act like a fashion brand. There's something different about Snapchat that way.
How's it acting like a fashion brand? Because the glasses?
With the glasses. Like, if I woke up tomorrow and found out that Snapchat was coming out with sneakers, I'd be like, uh-huh. Whereas that would make no sense for Twitter or Instagram or Facebook.
Huh.
So that's where I'm curious if they're opening up that avenue. Snap is very LA'd out. It is not hardcore Silicon Valley product. It's got a little of that LA flavor. Evan's got that.
What's the difference?
The difference is Silicon Valley is very tech nerded out. It's a little different now because everybody's gone there to make their millions, but it is still very grounded in technology. Engineers are the rock stars, and it's a San Francisco vibe. Snapchat is an LA company, and it started by a very young entrepreneur who's way cooler than the majority of entrepreneurs that we've seen before build these products, just in life. He was a cooler kid. And the vibe of the product, the exclusiveness of it, the awkwardness of using it, and they like that. It's like, if you don't understand us, fuck you. It had that vibe. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I don't use it. I have it on my phone. I use Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And Facebook, honestly, I kind of use Facebook only because Instagram links up to it. I don't,
got it.
But it's interesting. Like when I look at the numbers,
it as a distribution.
Yeah,
platform.
Yeah. I use it, and I don't interact with people that much on Facebook, and people get mad. But this, I don't have that much time.
It's not as native to interact there.
Right.
It's a lot easier to interact on a Twitter.
Yeah.
A lot easier.
Twitter's easy as fuck.
Uh-huh.
Instagram's a little weirder because like when you get a comment, if you reply to that comment, then you have to go find the original comment.
Yeah.
It's not
as native.
It's clunkier.
Twitter is the water cooler of our society.
Yeah, I agree.
It's got a lot of shortcomings, but for content and how much people are paying attention to the news feed, but definitely from a conversation standpoint, there's nothing close. So for example, when this airs, like that's where I'll go and engage with people, because a lot of people have never heard of me before that listen to this, and I'll respond to those feedbacks much more there than anywhere
right.
else.
Right. Yeah, I will too. And that's where I have the most followers too. And I'll interact with people more. But I also feel, like I said, I just think that, and Jamie was just telling me the other day that Instagram makes it so you can like people's comments now.
Yes. It's a new little feature. They've been, as you know, Jamie, it sounds like you're really getting deeper and deeper in this game. Like, they've been innovating very fast. Tons. Mm. Snapchat today put out a way for you to link out to websites. So there's just movement. There's always movement. Facebook is definitely going to launch stories in Facebook.
Yeah?
Because, yeah, they just launched it in Ireland.
Mm.
So I've already seen the preview of it. It's out. Like it, so that's coming. So that's will be interesting to see what that does. So plenty more to come. I think Facebook should become a television company. Like, I think they should actually come out with a television. And then I think when you're in
an
your
actual
feed,
television?
An actual physical television. This is just what I think they should do. And when you're in your feed, you see something, you just flick it, and it goes on your television, you watch it.
So like Apple TV does. Uh-huh. Hmm. Don't do that, Facebook. Listen to me.
Facebook, listen to me. I have a better track record. If you want to talk about like fighting somebody, like Facebook, if you want to fight Tumblr, listen to Joe.
There's a lot of TV companies out there. You don't need, no one's going to buy your fucking TV.
I'll buy
first.
Trust
me. You're going to make a lot of TVs. They're going to be sitting in a warehouse somewhere.
I can't wait to
clip this. Gary
Vee's
going to be, I made a mistake. I made a mistake for the TV.
I'm going to say, and in this keynote, look at this great clip from 2017 when I fully predicted the Facebook TV.
Why would they get involved in selling TVs? What would
because
be different than their
own,
TV?
When you own the hardware,
right.
you own the action.
Who right, owns, but why would anybody buy that when you could do like a little Google Chrome thing that sticks right into a USB port and just shoot it right from your Android phone and
everybody
instantaneously
has the,
goes
if you
to
make,
your TV?
If you make the best product, everybody right. has permission to play in anybody's space.
So if you make the best TV.
Sony had no permission to go in the video game space until they made the fucking PlayStation. Everybody's like, what the fuck?
Right.
Right? Like, Netflix wasn't supposed to produce the best original content.
Right, but that's a difference, right? Like, there's a platform if you're selling a console that makes video games, and then you have to hire a bunch of people to make games for that, or, you know.
No, you don't. You're the Razor and the Razor Blade thing, right? Like, Facebook can just, first of all, Facebook.
Razor and Razor Blade? What do
so
you mean?
So, like, you just become the platform. Other people can make it. Like, Sony okay. Sony didn't make those games.
Right, but they hired people, too.
No,
and they
no,
made
they,
some of their own games.
Yeah, but they mainly bought from other producers.
Right.
But more importantly,
they
Facebook.
They created a platform and
when
people
you have the
built
kind of
for
money
it.
That Facebook has, Facebook can go out and buy the number four TV manufacturer, steal two people from Samsung, and they're in the fucking game.
Right, but everybody already has a TV. Like, getting them to buy a Facebook TV.
Yeah, but one more time, and you know this, Joe, like, we used to have Sony TV. Now we have Samsung TV. I mean, like,
Jamie, you with me on this?
No, he's with me.
I'm with both of you. I mean, I see what you're both saying.
If he's saying both,
points,
if he's if he's saying I'm with both of you, you know, I'm leaving.
No,
you stay.
Jamie's super.
Jamie,
honest with me.
Jamie, this is historic.
He also knows
Jamie,
that I'm not connected to this.
You need to be historically
to
correct.
Yeah, it's a great point because I mean, you brought up that Snapchat sneaker thing a few weeks ago. At least
yep.
that's what I saw was
yep.
a few weeks ago, and I think that's a great point. It's not going to work for everyone. Though.
It's a good idea if you want to go broke.
But it's a brand thing, like. Well,
go ahead, put all your money in Yeezys.
But you know what's interesting? But you know what? Wait
a
minute. That was actually
right
where
now.
I was about to go. You just walked into it. I'm fascinated by the following. The fact that you even said Yeezys 3 years ago.
Right.
Everybody, you would have never said anything but
no,
Nike.
No, you don't understand us. The reason why I say it is because he buys Yeezys and I mock him on a daily basis.
I get it. But what's
I think
not,
they're the shittiest, fucking goofiest looking sneakers I've ever seen in my life.
And?
And they sell it crazy.
Bingo.
There's a lot of retards out
bingo.
There.
Bingo. Hey, Joe, how about this? What you know? I'm of the age when UFC started, when mixed martial arts started hitting the scene, right? Royce
right.
Gracie, like way back. It feels
Hoist.
Like a so, Hoist, I apologize. So, you know, what did everybody say about that? No chance. Fucking stupid.
Well, that's never. Different.
No, it's not.
Sure,
it's
it is. It's
no,
primal.
No, no. At the
everybody
no,
understands fighting.
At the mo. Fashion is primal. It's the way we express
Yeezys
to each other.
Are definitely not primal,
yes,
bro.
Yes, they are, brother. Yeezys are primal.
That stupid stripe
Yeezys
that they have, the color stripe on the side, Christ.
Makes them harder to duplicate.
Blah! They look like shit.
Wrong.
No, trust me, 5 years from now, you're going to be making fun of those things.
I
hang in
these
there, buddy.
These shoes I have on my feet right now.
Those
been,
are pretty dope. I
these
like
have
those.
Been retroed like 4 or 5 times, and that's
yeah,
because
are...
they resell for $700, and they're like $160 shoes. And
but those look better. Those are Jordans. They look cool.
I've never wore a pair of Jordans in my life.
Really?
I hate Michael Jordan with my entire heart.
Whoa.
Knicks fan.
Whoa.
I'm a 41-year-old Knicks fan. And
is that just
and
because
you're a
Knicks
41-year-old Knicks fan out there right now, fuck you if you bought mm-hmm. Jordans.
Can't believe what you're saying.
Yep.
It stopped the Knicks championships.
That's right.
So.
So you're just loyal because he's a really good basketball player. You're loyal to the team that he crushed. You're loyal to his characteristics that you admire and you do on your own daughter.
Yes. I fully respect that. I respect and understand he's the greatest basketball player of all time.
Right. Is that probably still Jamie?
That is probably right. Yeah. I mean, listen, you want to get into Wilt and there's some different ways to debate that. Here's what I will say. You can I hate when people argue with me on this. You can separate respecting somebody's skill set and thinking they're a piece of fucking shit.
But you only think he's a piece of shit because he beat your team?
Yes.
That's it.
Isn't that more than a fuck enough?
I guess. See,
like Tom Brady, choke. Would be phenomenally happy with that.
If he died?
Listen, I don't want to go there because I think a lot of people
listen
to this shit.
But if he fell down and could never play again?
If he retired
after
Sunday, I'd be real happy.
Mm.
Real fucking happy.
You just don't like that he's really good and he wins.
Correct.
That's so weird.
At the expense of my team.
See, but that whole my team. I understand if you own that team, but you don't own it yet.
No, it's my escape. Joe, it's the one place I get to escape. It's my 3 hours fucking 16 times a year where I can recalibrate my whole fucking insane life.
Well, I'm coming at it from a weird perspective. A weird perspective as a person who's a sports fan because my sports that I only watch are martial arts. And as a fan of them, I'm a fan of performance more than I'm a fan of a person. So I'm not a fan. Like when I watch people fight, I'm a fan of whoever wins the fight. I'm a fan of how they win it. I'm a fan of what goes down. Not a bandwagon
I'm kidding.
I'm a fan of technique.
You love the craft.
I love the craft, and I also love moments.
I think dominating a moment. I think that is exactly right. And I love when I don't have a horse in the race.
But you always have a horse in the race when it comes to basketball.
And football.
And football.
I used to win hockey and baseball, but my teams won championships, and then I get out.
All right. So you can, no baseball. So if you could appreciate someone who's a bad motherfucker who breaks the home run record.
That stuff I get excited about. That's why I love that. That's why I like boxing so much for that. I tend not to have a horse in the race. I usually root for the underdog.
That's a good move.
Yep.
Yeah. It feels better when they win.
Yeah. That's usually my default.
Yeah, when someone is the favorite and they beat the shit out of someone, you go, well, I saw that coming. Yeah. When Tyson was in his prime, those were weird fights because they were executions.
They were.
You know, he fought Bruce Seldon.
Those were real events. Bruce Seldon was post. By the way, Bruce Seldon had, smoking Burt Cooper, who I think of as when I think about Bruce Seldon because they had a similar body shape.
Right, jacked.
Smoking Burt Cooper knocked down Holyfield in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I thought he had that fight. I was so excited.
It's a great fight.
A lot of people don't remember that.
Stud. Holyfield is a fucking stud.
Real stud.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great boxers, but Tyson had something going on
it was pop culture.
Yeah.
It's what Conor's
executioner. Yeah.
It's pop culture. When they transcend into pop culture, the problem with that a lot of times is I feel bad for those Ronda, right? Like, the drop off is so extreme when you get to become a cultural icon.
Yeah, but she's a real weird case because she's essentially done. So you got to wonder, like, her mindset when she was winning was this mindset of a destroyer. She would go in there and smash these girls and she was all in. But then she got wooed by Hollywood and all the distractions and movies and TV shows and all that nonsense. And then bought into a bad strategy against one of the best strikers in the sport and fought the absolute worst way she could have fought against that elite striker and got fucked up. And once she got fucked up, man, the wheels came off. She takes a whole year off and then comes back again and just gets annihilated.
Annihilated.
And now she's essentially done.
Here's my big
point.
Which
is crazy.
On MMA in the modern world. If you lose the entire fight within the time of an Instagram post, you're in deep shit.
You are, but you're not. See, because she beat Kat Zingano in 14 seconds, and Kat Zingano's still in the mix. And MMA math is all fucked up, but it doesn't really work this way, but this is a fact. Kat Zingano stopped Amanda Nunes. She beat her in the third round. But Ronda Rousey, after that fight, armbarred Kat Zingano in 14 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
I get it. And
it's
bananas. You know what's really cool about MMA? I've said this. You might have caught this, Jamie. It's the closest thing to entrepreneurship because everybody loses in entrepreneurship. Boxing's funny. That loss really dangles.
Mm.
It's devastating, that loss. I've been more fascinated from afar, and I'm not as deep into sport, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there is an absolute different level because the way the sport is structured, there's an acceptance by the fan base of the loss in this sport that I think is very different than boxing. It's like, it's a scarlet letter in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming up, you need to keep it clean.
Right. You want to be undefeated. Yeah. You want to be an undefeated contender. Yep. It is a big factor.
Yeah.
And in MMA, almost no one is undefeated, except Nurmagomedov. He's one of the very few guys that's a top contender right now that's undefeated, and he's just a destroyer. But, you know, he's rare. He's very rare. Most people at the top have lost a couple of times. What Conor showed when he lost, he showed the ability to regroup, take it on the chin like a fucking man, make no excuses whatsoever, and jump right back in and win. And that's super, super rare.
I agree.
He's a phenomenal individual in his ability to visualize things. His belief in himself is just unflappable. And his incredible confidence and ability to operate under pressure. That's the big thing, is being dwarfed by the moment. Being dwarfed by the moment happens so many times.
So much.
People allow those negative thoughts to creep into their mind.
All those eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fucking eyeballs, baby. A lot of eyeballs and a lot of doubt.
What was the biggest audience you performed? What was the first time you took a quantum jump? Like, what was the number? Did you go from, like, consistently doing, like, clubs? Then what was the first time? Like, what was that? Because I had a very weird thing happen to me with speaking. It was always, like, 500, 300, 49, 80. And then I got this weird gig for Remax National Convention at the MGM Grand, not like 15,000.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, it was such a
what
funny.
What is that like?
I mean, I would do it every day if I could.
It seems really bizarre, right? Like a detachment from the people?
Yes, but I focused on the people that were closest to me.
Okay.
It worked for me.
Yeah, that's a good move. That's the way to do it. And while taking into account all the people that aren't right there.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about for you? What was the...
Well, I mostly started out with clubs for a long time. I mostly did clubs. And then as I started getting more and more popular, I moved into larger places. And the biggest place that I've ever sold out was in Denver, which was like 5,700 people. So that's a different experience, man. It's just weird. It's weird. Someone's addicted to their phone.
Sorry, I had to just
someone's
my next.
Addicted
I have another
to their
meeting.
Phone. You have another meeting tonight?
Yeah.
What are you doing tonight?
Doing a biz dev meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
A business development meeting tonight after 10 p.m.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
I normally...
And you live in New York, so this is 1 a.m. for you.
Yep. And I left at 4 a.m. this morning because I had Chicago meetings.
You on speed? What are you doing? Popping pills?
My brother still has a weird... No. I'm like, seriously.
Are you super clean?
What do I have? I'm super...
What do you have?
I've never even tried smoking a cigarette.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Smoking a cigarette is probably not a good move. No pot? No nothing?
Nope. No.
No?
Much to the chagrin of every one of my friends.
Maybe make you a little bit more creative.
I just think I have natural something.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother literally thinks I'm a robot. Like, literally has asked weird questions of my
parents.
Well,
you seem passionate. If you're passionate,
I
you're engaged. If you're engaged, you're excited.
You know what I am?
Energy.
I'm grateful as fuck.
Well, that's good,
too. If you really asked me what the slight variation of that is, I think it's gratitude.
Gratitude is huge. It's gigantic.
I think gratitude is a real drug.
I think it is too.
So I'm just grateful.
Well, it's certainly fuel. It's energy, and it's warmth, and it's a feeling also that's very attractive. Like, other people recognize true gratitude, and they get excited by it too.
Yeah, and perspective.
Yeah.
I think perspective is another one.
I agree. Yeah, perspective is good. You know, being honest and humble and recognizing that, yeah, you work hard. Yeah, you bust your ass. But, yeah, you're also, like, super lucky just to be living in America.
400 trillion to 1.
Yeah.
Your dad might have decided to jerk off one more time the day before.
Right.
And we wouldn't be here.
Damn.
400. Jamie, your mom might have wanted to take a quick glass of wine. Like, 400
right.
trillion to 1, the odds of being a human being.
Mm.
No, seriously, I know I'm getting this a little weird thing, but, like, we're going down this path. Like, I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, no, it's real. It's a real statistic if you think about cum.
Yep.
You really start dividing and conquering.
If you really understand that you could end up on your dad's
the law of
chest
cum.
Instead or
yeah.
napkin instead of, like, becoming a human.
True.
It's humbling.
Yeah, it is in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But once that happens.
Once you become a human?
Yeah, once you become a human, then, even then, the odds of being fortunate to have good health. Fortunate to not have have the fuck beat out of you by your parents.
That's right.
Or being in foster care with abusive people or a million different factors.
You're going down the path that I think about on a daily basis. I also had the misfortune of three of my four grandparents dying before I knew them. because everybody died in Russia in their 50s because everybody was fucking miserable from communism.
Yeah.
And then, so I haven't had a whole lot of death in my family. Like, I, you know, I've had it, I mean, it's real good. Mm. And so I'm grateful.
Gratitude's giant, man. It's really good. And you know what? And you can extend that gratitude. Like, there's a lot of people that woe is me. But God damn it, you just need to look at it in a balanced perspective. There are people in parts of the world that would fucking literally kill to be in any position that anyone listening to this who is woe is me-ing right now.
You know what the problem with woe is me? Nobody's fucking listening. My friends, let me tell you who's listening to you complain. Either the two or three people that kind of have to because they're your parents, or your other fucking losing friends.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck. That's the problem. What people don't understand about complaining is it has a zero ROI.
Right. And also excuses. Excuses are terrible. They're the worst thing you could ever do is give yourself a reason why you're not successful or not happy or not this or not that.
It's always
your
fault.
Yeah, well, it's easy for you to say, Gary.
Yeah, because you, yeah, well,
your,
yeah,
dad,
I got it. Yeah,
your dad
I got
fucking owned a wine store, bro.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, oh, you're fucking, you're so happy you started a fucking YouTube channel, bro.
I get it.
Oh, well, my dad, he fucking used to hit me with a belt.
If anybody's made it that looks like you, that's it. That's it.
It must have happened.
There's a blueprint. So I get it, man. Listen,
what is it even making it, right?
Well, that's
what,
your own
anybody,
definition.
Is
that's
anybody
exactly
happy?
It. That's it.
Are you? Is anybody that's in similar circumstances, did they navigate their way better than you? Learn from them. Learn from them.
I think for me, the journey is the fucking addiction.
So like, you just love the whole
the
puzzle
game,
of it all, the game.
It's funny. I was listening to you about like fighting and the performance. That's how I feel about business. Actually, buying the Jets is going to be the worst day of my life.
Because then you're going to need a new mountain to climb.
Yeah.
Mm, now you need to buy an island. Yeah. Start a country.
No, I don't want that shit. No? I want, you know what I want?
What?
I want to build a honey empire.
Honey.
I want to build
like bees.
I want to build one of the most successful business things ever, and I want to do it in a way that I treated my employees and my business partners in a honey manner.
Oh, okay. Not actual honey.
No honey, like honey and vinegar.
But right. Like,
yeah.
More honey than vinegar. Right.
Correct.
Right. You get more.
I was
flies
super
from
pissed
honey
when Steve Jobs was the icon in Silicon Valley, and all my young friends started becoming dicks to their employees because they thought they were getting more out of their employees.
Yeah, that
I
always
hated
disturbed
that
me
I
about
hated
him
that
too.
Fucking narrative. I fucking hate that.
But I wish I knew what the actual truth was. I wish I got to see him communicate with his employees and see what it was that freaked him out. Like, was he really a dick, or did he work with a bunch of ne'er-do-wells or lazy people or fools, or, you know,
Number one,
what? He wanted to be number one, for
no,
sure.
No. He was a dick.
He was definitely a dick?
Listen, truth is, back to the way you talked about steroid use and Hugh and Roy, I don't know.
Right, I don't know
it's
either.
It's super hard when a whole lot of human beings are saying it who work for him.
Yeah, I think he was absolutely, completely obsessed. And I think for a lot of people, that really wasn't what they wanted. They wanted a job. You know, they
I'm
wanted
obsessed
to do good at their job.
I'm obsessed.
Yes.
But I deploy empathy. I know that other people have other goals and wants and needs, and that shouldn't come mine, even though it's my company, it shouldn't come at their expense. It's my job as a leader to figure out how to provide for them and figure out what's left for me to do what I do.
Mm.
That's leverage.
Right. But what he wanted to do was create something unbelievably powerful, and
yes,
he had this super vision of it, and he wanted everybody else to share that vision, but not really necessarily share in the rewards of it, which is a big problem.
Nonetheless,
right?
Listen, I don't know shit about him to critique it. Here's what I know.
I don't like turtlenecks.
Ready for this? The bottom line is he impacted an entire generation of young 25-year-old Silicon Valley CEOs who weren't smart enough and decided just to be assholes across the board for like 2 years there, and it really sucked.
So you would know that. I don't know anything about that. Yep. So explain to me what that was like, because I'm just you might as well be talking to someone from another country.
That whole era of like Web 2.0, that second wave, that 2004, that Kevin Rose, right? You know, who invented Dig, then, you know, and Zucks and Ev Williams and the investors Sokka and all these characters. It was just a crazy thing. You knew you were sitting in a game. It was kind of like hip hop 85. Like, I would go to these meetings, I would be in San Francisco, I would hang out with them, and I just fucking knew. I even have videos in 2009, like, saying this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew. I was like, these are going to be the fucking characters that are going to be the next icons of the world, because they're building the products that everybody's going to pay attention to. And there was just a lot of things going on. At first, it was pure as shit. Like, these kids really just wanted to save the world. right? Like, let's make the world better with technology. Then you start having assholes like me come in who had commerce ambition. And I'm like, yes, you save the world, but let me own 10% of the company while you save the world. You know, like, and then you had the worst wave, which was the people who blindly just thought because they were 22 and wore a hoodie that they were going to invent the next Facebook.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of posers, right?
You understand that there's a very big difference between being an entrepreneur and being a successful entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah, huge.
Like but the market right now, everyone's like, oh, you're a CEO and entrepreneur? Like as if you won. That's like me saying I'm a basketball player. I play basketball. I'm not making any fucking money.
Right.
And so, yeah, we have a real issue in fake entrepreneurship right now. Everybody thinks, you know, it's cool. It became cool. It's crazy to me how cool entrepreneurship became. When I was a kid, being an entrepreneur meant you were a loser and had an idea. You know, you're laughing because you know a lot of youngsters are listening. You don't know. Back in our day, like, entrepreneur was a word that you rarely heard. I used to think I was a businessman. That's what I said, not an entrepreneur.
You must hear a lot of really shitty ideas.
For a living.
Yeah.
For a living.
Because I get some emails sometime, and I'll get like one paragraph in. I'll go, get the fuck out of here. What is this nonsense? And I just delete it. But you must get that like all day long.
All day long.
It's hard to separate, right? Like, how do you find those little diamonds?
Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. You have to take your L's. I have an email that I always look at from a good guy named Joe, and he worked at a company called Air Bed and Breakfast. Joe at Air Bed and Breakfast. Gary V, we're huge fans here at our company. We'd love for you to invest. Never even replied. Now Airbnb is worth a lot of money.
A lot of fucking money.
Email from my boy Ben Lair, founder of Thrillist, sent me an email. He's like, hey, I really like these guys. You should look at it. Didn't jump on it. Warby Parker, big glass company. You know, like, it happens.
Yeah, that's a weird one, right? Who fuck saw that a glasses company was going to be giant?
Not me. But other times, you know, Venmo.
Zappos.
Knew it right away. Like, you know, it happens. I mean, it goes both ways.
I saw Amazon.com. I was like, bitch, how much money are you going to make selling books?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow, I mean, use it every day.
I'm from the generation where people made fun of my dad for... because I didn't open a second wine store and I went on the internet.
Right.
They're like, the internet's a fad. Youngsters, listen real quick. People debated the internet itself. Forget about is Snapchat going to be here in 5 years.
Sure.
Back in 1994, 5, 6, 7, 8, people were like, the internet's not going to be here in 5 years.
Go earlier than that. When IBM first came out with their home computer, people were saying that's ridiculous.
I mean, of course. That's what always
happens.
That's
a joke.
The telephone is not a viable product, was once said.
Yeah.
By the people that didn't want the telephone to win.
Yeah, nobody saw a lot of things coming. So what should we do, Gary V? Let's wrap this up.
Yeah,
what should we do? What should people do?
People should fucking stop complaining.
Right.
People should figure out who the fuck they are.
Good call.
People should not listen to America propaganda of fixing the shit they suck at. They should be tripling down on what they're good at. They should be competent in certain areas, but you're not gonna become Beyonce or, you know, like, your bone structure is a certain way. Like, you're not gonna solve everything. Your IQ can get a little bit better, but don't worry about the incremental. Figure out what you fucking puts you on fire and you're halfway decent at. If you're lucky enough right now to be listening and you're good at what you like, become tunnel fucking vision. Because there's way too many voices telling you what and how. And here's the other thing. And this is the big one, Joe, because you have a humongous audience. The biggest thing that I've seen dividends from, have the conversation with the person that's holding you back. The reason most people who are listening right now are not doing that thing is they're worried about the opinion of somebody. Usually their mother, usually their father. And the reality is that your spouse may be the person holding you back and you have to have that conversation.
Cut them off.
We have to get to a place where you're doing you, because the number one thing that scares the fuck out of me is regret. And you're going to sit there at 72 and you're going to say, I wish. And whether that's money or spend more time with your family, there's a million ways to do this. Not everybody wants to buy the jets. Not everybody wants to smoke weed on the beach in Bahamas. Like, everybody's got a different fucking thing. Figure out what your fucking thing is and stop making fucking bullshit excuses. Who the president is, your mom did this, like I missed it, I had that idea for Uber. Then why didn't you fucking do it, dick? That's what I think, Joe.
Better words have never been spoken. Gary, you're a bad motherfucker. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure meeting you.
Real
so
pleasure.
Glad you did this.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, episode 9/11, with fucking Alex Jones. That's right. You heard it. And Eddie Bravo. Holla. This episode is brought to you by Mizzen and Main. No matter where you're listening, no matter what job you have, the clothes you wear to work say a lot about you. And if you're wearing a boring, stiff, uncomfortable dress shirt, well, now might be the time to ditch some of your old styles. And that's exactly what Mizzen and Main is for. I love their shirts. I've worn them on 2 stand-up comedy specials, on my Netflix specials. They're super comfortable. They feel just as good as they look. You could see it hanging in your closet and genuinely get excited to put it on. So replace your dated, boring styles with clothes that you actually want to wear to work. Put on Mizzen and Main and dress for the job you have. Plus, you can forget dry cleaning your dress shirts in 2024. Mizzen and Main has the world's most comfortable machine washable dress shirts. They're lightweight, breathable, moisture-wicking, wrinkle-resistant. You can just crumple them in a ball and stuff them in your bag and pull them out and wear it, and it looks great. Most comfortable shirt on the market. Looks and feels amazing for whatever you do, wherever you wear it. Shop now at MizzenandMain.com and save 20% off when you spend $130 or more using the promo code Joe Rogan.